Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. Okay, so this week things are a little bit different because Ree is sunning it up again on holiday, drinking thousands of cocktails, giving herself a tan. So I'm on my own this week. But don't worry, Ree fans, okay, you will still be able to hear those dulcet northern tones as me and Ree did record something before she went away talking about the Chris Clenshaw era. He's left the building. We could hardly let that go by without comment, could we? And there's also some other things to discuss as well, as you may well be aware. So, coming up on this week's Albert Square After Dark. After 20 years, Zoe Slater is back, but she's got secrets and a whole lot of trouble for the Slaters. And Joel's behaviour took a very sinister turn. I'll be reading your comments on Ben Wadey's first week as executive producer. Ree and I will be taking a retrospective look at the Chris Clenshaw era, the highs, the lows, and what his era did for the show. And Soap Week approaches. You haven't heard about it? Gemma from the Conversation Street podcast will be telling us all about it and how you can get involved. So, Monday's episode. We weren't allowed to watch it early. It didn't get uploaded at 6 o'clock in the morning like it normally does. And there was a very good reason for that, because the show was attempting, thank you, The Sun newspaper, to do a surprise return. Now, it was very interesting because they kind of hinted all the way through the episode that it might be Hayley coming back, you know, calling her a slapper and saying that she needed a wash, which, you know, were terms that were occasionally applied to Hayley. But all the leaks and rumours were true. Michelle Ryan, after 20 years, was back as Zoe Slater. Wow. I mean, what does this mean for the Slaters? What does this mean for Zoe? Seems that she's got quite a bit of baggage to come with her. But what did you think? Kieran Smith said, Zoe! I mean, I guessed anyway. Thanks, the scum. But the fact she's back after 20 years is mind-blowing. From reading the press release, it sounds like a full-time return as well. I wonder if it's Zoe and Kat running the Vic together. Yeah, I think that might be possible, Kieran. Because obviously, again, from leaks and rumours, we have an idea, spoiler siren, Nina Nina, that Kat is going to be running the Vic. And judging by what was going on with the Knights this week, I think we might be heading towards that pretty soon. But Kat and Zoe running the Vic together. I mean, the pair of them, how long will the Vic last with those two at the helm? Honestly, they're a bit messy. Once they get all their drama started, they are a little bit messy. But it does seem to be heading in that direction. And Declan Walton has said, I actually hate the scum newspaper so much. How good would that have been had they not spoiled it? And I think, given all discussed in tonight's episode, she's definitely Joel's mother. And quite a few people jumped on that theory, me included. I do think they were sort of hinting that that might be what's going on. So how the hell would that work? Because Joel and Ross were living in Australia. We knew that Zoe had sort of been living in Spain for quite a few years. I think around 2015, they had a conversation about Zoe and said that she was living in Spain, sort of going around. So there hasn't really been any mention that she's ever been in Australia, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. It could have been that Ross and Zoe met and then they went to Australia afterwards after Zoe did, you know, Zoe things, and sort of left Joel with Ross. But I mean, how do you feel about that? Joel and Zoe. I mean, are they going to try and recreate the You Ain't My Mother thing with Joel, of all people? I mean, how would I feel about that? I mean, Joel and Zoe being mother and son together is an interesting pairing because obviously we'll talk about Joel in a minute because his behavior got very, very odd and very, very strange and dark and scary this week. But Zoe sort of in charge of that would be interesting to say the least. But is it too much of a coincidence? Let us know in the comments. Becky L. Pickering said about Joel, the way Joel is acting, you'd think it's him with Michael Moon's blood in him, not Tommy. Props to both their actors. They are so good at their roles. I saw a TikTok from the actress playing the lady Joel sexually assaulted, and she mentioned in a comment that his actor is so sweet and they're friends now. I mean, right, so Joel, for God's sake, he literally sexually assaulted a woman in a public place. Now, I don't want to jump on the matter too hard, but like, that's not much of a stretch to see where that could progress to very, very quickly. Yeah, he took a very, very scary, scary turn this week. And as far as Tommy is concerned, I don't know why he kept the video on his phone for so long. Like, surely, because Tommy looked horrified by that, right? He looked utterly disgusted with what Joel had done in front of him and asked him to record it. What a weirdo. And yeah, to then have Joel manage to turn the tables on him at the end of the week and say, well, you sent me that video, so you're in it as much as I am. Worrying, very, very worrying. Moira Colleen Hartwell said, not at all happy with Vicky and Ross swooping in yet again to protect Joel from his sexual crimes. And Joel can keep that poor, pitiful me shtick to himself. Plenty of kids have a hard life and don't assault women because of it. No, what we have here is a sexual predator, and that's going to be a very sharp rise in sex crime in the neighborhood very soon. Yeah. Vicky was a troubled. Difficult to follow Vicky this week, really, because she was utterly appalled by Joel's behavior, obviously, but then paid off his victim to keep her quiet. I'm presuming to sort of keep Ross happy, but then had quite a triumphant moment this week when she had Joel sort of pinned up against the wall and was telling him that it could never happen again. But then was turning around to telling Tommy to keep his gob shut. So I had no idea whether I was supposed to be on Vicky's side or not this week. She's getting a bit complex. As for Ross, I kind of feel like he's at the stage now where he is literally trying to grab onto anything that he can in order to prevent him from confronting the fact that his son is this person. And I think you would do that as a parent. I think it's kind of, it's not right, but I think it's understandable that you would not want to associate your child with anything like that. And I think that's what he's doing. I think he's desperately trying to convince himself otherwise. But honestly, I think the way that Joel behaved this week, he is on the verge to raping somebody if he carries on like that, isn't he? So, and the way that he's going to get Tommy involved, and then because he's just referring to all women as slappers and like saying that his mum was a slapper, calling Vicky a slapper, probably not far off from calling Kat a slapper to Tommy. You know, he's called Ivani a slapper, so he's obsessed with this idea of like women being slappers and having real disrespect for them. And this whole video thing that he's watching, and trying to and getting Tommy to watch as well, because Tommy is so desperate for a friend that he's kind of staying there, whilst at the same time knowing that Joel is kind of not the kind of mate that he wants. It's really tricky. What does Tommy do from here? Chris Davis has raised an interesting point. Maybe Zoe is with her long-lost twin brother, or are we meant to forget that little nugget? Now then, that is a point. How is the show going to address what we apparently learnt in Redwater? The idea that when Kat gave birth to Zoe, a second child was removed from her that she only found out about in 2015. And then we have the whole thing of Redwater where this psychopathic son. Are they going to address that? Because the show has kind of seemed to have pretended that Redwater never happened. And now Zoe's back. Are they going to address that? Are they going to ignore it? Are they going to sort of pretend it never happened? I don't know. What would you prefer? I feel like Redwater is one of those things where the fans just sort of go, they tried something. Did it work? Possibly not. But I don't know. What do you think? Let us know. Now then, folks, before Ree went away, we had a long old conversation about the past 3 years, the Chris Clenshaw era, the highs, the lows, what we loved, what didn't work so well, and what Chris Clenshaw did for the show. Enjoy! Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to this special episode where we will be looking back over the Chris Clenshaw era, the highs, the lows, the new characters, the returning characters, the stories, and everything in between. Chris Clenshaw has officially left the building and the Ben Wadey era is about to begin. So before it does, we figured it was time to look back over what has been a pretty interesting few years of EastEnders. Hi, Ree. How are you?
Hello, Rob. I'm good, thank you. I'm ready to dive into this Chris Clenshaw era that I'm very, very, very gutted is ending.
Yeah, I mean,
has
ended now. And I think that that's the main sort of takeaway from this, isn't it? Like, I think for the majority of fans, it's kind of a sad day that this... Because I think what's worth noting is when Chris Clenshaw took over, for various reasons, the show wasn't in the best of states and kind of people, I think, were genuinely a bit worried about its future. And then when Chris Clenshaw came along, it was sort of like everything that was supposed to be EastEnders sort of came back to the forefront about, you know, sort of stuff like characters and its history and really sort of things that were distinctly within the EastEnders DNA.
Yes, it felt quite... It's like modern classic EastEnders, I would say, the series been. Because it's felt like classic EastEnders, like exploring relationships, family dynamics, friendship dynamics, and everything else in between. So, really strong era. As we know, Ben Wadey's got some big steps to step into, as we keep saying.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being Ben Wadey right now, like realizing what you've got to follow? I mean, you know, best of luck to him. And we've got to go in with a positive frame of mind and just sort of, you know, yes, we've enjoyed this era. But the whole point of a show is that you're not really supposed to notice when a sort of new boss comes in. It's supposed to all sort of feel the same with maybe the distinctive little flavours that the saddos like us notice. But I feel like because Chris Clenshaw's era had such a distinctive feel about it. I mean, it was the era of returns, right? I mean, we'll talk about the returns first, because I think that it was obvious that Chris Clenshaw was a huge fan of the show.
Yes, it's obvious that he knew the history of EastEnders really well and understands what the fans are looking for as well. It's felt his era's felt like quite nostalgic as well, hasn't it? Like throughout with all the returns.
It's almost been like this whole era has basically been the 40th anniversary of EastEnders, because a lot of it has sort of really been kind of respecting the history, taking some of the history and then taking it in new directions. But I mean, if you think about the number of characters that have returned in this era, there's been over 40 returns in various sort of guises, whether that be in flashbacks or in sort of returning full time or just little cameos here and there, like Joe Wicks or Julie or something like that. So there's been a huge amount of sort of looking back with fondness to the past. And also, you know, even things like Pauline and Arthur, when they were sort of in the TV, they sort of still counted technically as a return because they went in the credits and it felt like they were back. It's been a pretty sort of respectful era to the show's history, I would say.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, who would have thought that we would have had Cindy back, for one?
I mean, I think Cindy was probably the biggest return of this whole era. And they tried so, so hard, didn't they, to kind of keep the Cindy thing a secret.
That was so disappointing, because can you imagine how much of a big surprise that would have been if it had not got spoiled? Yeah. And they didn't actually announce that either. That was literally a spoiler, weren't it? That would have been such a good... I mean, it was still a good moment, but we knew exactly... You remember when it panned and she was sat on a sunbed and...
Imagine that and spoiled.
George was getting the phone. Yeah, if that had not been spoiled, we would have been like, George, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember I spoiled that for somebody on Instagram, actually.
Did you?
Somehow claimed that they didn't know that was going to happen, and I posted a picture. You know, we always post saying to a family episode.
Well, I think it was interesting. I bet they weren't. I mean, it was interesting though, because I've got some people in my life that I, you know, that are big fans of EastEnders, but they don't sort of do the whole social media thing. So they were, when Cindy returned, they were completely unaware that it was coming. So I think it's worth pointing out that possibly for millions of people that were watching at that time, they did get that unspoiled. But because we're saddos that go into this whole thing so in depth, we obviously knew that it was coming.
Do you know what, though? As you know, I've always been someone who's tried to avoid spoilers. But
I do in the grand scheme of things.
Now we do the podcast, it is a bit more difficult because of what we follow and things a bit
more. We have to follow things, don't we? But
It'd be great if
it's
that was unspoiled for
yeah,
people.
and they tried their best with it, and that wasn't the show's fault whatsoever. It was just the typical papers
Yeah.
doing the paper thing for clicks, unfortunately. But I feel like Cindy's return was possibly the biggest one because she came back, from the dead. It was sort of like this era's Kathy's back from the dead sort of moment,
Yes,
wasn't it?
definitely.
And I think that Cindy was actually a kind of really good character to bring back because with Cindy, remember, came Adam and Peter and eventually Lauren as well, because none of
Ian.
them, and Ian. Yeah, Ian wasn't there when the show was, yeah, but Ian wasn't there when the show was,
No, you called him Adam.
oh, did I? Oh, did I just
Yeah.
do, I just did a Joe Joyner, did I? Bloody hell.
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing so much.
All right. But anyway,
Yeah.
Ian, yeah, so
Ian and
remember,
Peter
Ian wasn't
and
around
Louis.
when and Lou, yeah, Ian wasn't around when Cindy came back, so he actually
Yeah.
brought the Beals back full time as well,
Yes, exactly. It was
which
a good
again,
return to have done, yeah.
yeah, which again was a family that was.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
So heavily rooted in the show's history, you sort of wonder how the show was coping without them almost.
Yeah, do you know what though? I feel the entire time that Ian wasn't there, we were constantly like, when's Ian coming
Yeah,
back? Ian
it
needs
didn't
to
feel
come
right
back.
without him, did it?
No, it didn't. And you still had Kathy there as well. So
Yeah.
it was like, you can't have Kathy without Ian. Kathy's come back from the dead and Ian's gone. What's going on?
I mean, I think what was interesting as well was, and this is also a kind of key point of this era, was the sort of foreplanning that was taking place. Because remember, we'd seen Ian very briefly at Dot's funeral,
Yes.
and he was on the phone to somebody. And apparently, everyone who was writing the show knew that was Cindy at that moment, and that was so long before Cindy even arrived.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of just assumed it was Jane, amazed that
I did.
Ian had come back for it, and then assumed that Adam would come back whenever he wanted to,
Yeah.
and it was just sort of amazing to think that that was in the pipeline for all of that time, and the
Yeah.
show itself felt a lot less. Kind of making it up as they went along, but sort of felt like a lot more pre-planning was taking place.
I agree. I think this entire era has had a lot more pre-planning done, and like you can tell that they've thought things through with the details and stuff. Like I feel, although we were just saying on last week's episode about how some of it had felt a bit out of the blue, I think
Yeah.
the last week was maybe not the best example of that. But all the way through, everything has been really thought out. I would definitely say in this era, more than any, actually, that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, looking at some of these returns,
Yeah.
just to kind of come up with a few, Moe's come back. All of the
Yeah, big
Mitchells
man.
came back in a flashback episode. I want to talk about the flashback episode, especially in a moment, because I feel like that was something very, very special. Managed to get Roxy Mitchell back for a moment. Fat
Right.
Boy as well,
Yeah.
all of that sort of thing. For Dot's funeral, you had Mary and Deezer. I mean, that's when a producer knows the history of the show, bringing
Yeah.
someone like Deezer back for Dot's
Yeah,
funeral, for God's sake.
definitely.
So Alfie, Yolandi has been a real complete
I
triumph
was just
coming
going to
back for this
say.
era. Again, you sort of wonder how the hell the show went on without Yolandi now, because she's been such a triumph coming back.
Yeah, 100. She's like the new. I mean, Yolandi's always had her place on the square, but she's like the new dot.
Yeah.
Well, she is
I
really,
think she
isn't
is
she?
the
And
new
obviously,
Dot
she
in
knew
many
dot
ways, yeah.
well, but
Yeah. And I
yeah.
think that actually there is a lot of similarities between Dot and Yolandi. I think the only difference
Yeah.
now is that Yolandi doesn't smoke 70 million cigarettes a day, which may be a
Yeah.
shame. Maybe she should start. I think that would quite
Yeah.
suit her. But yeah, over 40 returns in various guises, for special weeks, Chrissy, David,
Yeah, we're
and
just
then.
thinking, Chrissy. Yeah.
Yeah, but then also characters that were connected to them sort of made an appearance as well. So when Chrissy came back, we saw Jake Moon at the end of the
Yeah.
week. We saw,
Crazy.
it's just been all that. It's just been all that. When David came back, we saw Joe Wicks coming back, making an
Yeah.
appearance as well. It was
Yeah.
just all of these returns that were so deeply rooted in knowledge of the show's history
Yeah.
that the fans can't help but kind of feel like we're in really safe hands at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. We even had Dean as well coming back, and we met
Yeah,
Jade.
yeah.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought we'd have had Dean and Jade living on the square? I definitely not. And he made it work as well. I'm kind of glad that he made it that if you're going to bring Dean back, that we actually got, Linda got her, what's the word I'm looking for? Justice.
And it, yeah, and
Something
a
like
lot
that.
because especially, the Dean thing went on. It was actually over 10 years ago when the when Dean eventually came back. So really, that kind of thing, that story has been affecting Linda's character direction for all that time, and it was actually able to kind of come to a culmination at the end of a six storyline, wasn't it?
Definitely.
With the old, we also had a host of new characters come in, and actually quite a lot of new characters. New families come in. We've had the knights come in that kind of came in and take over the Vic. Now, obviously, Elaine was a previous character but was recast to Harriet Thorpe.
I always class her as a new character, even though I know she was technically a return but recast.
I mean, I would say that it is difficult to kind of think of a recast as anything other than a new character with a previous character's history, because it's all about the portrayal of the character, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's just like Johnny, isn't it, as well,
Yeah.
like talking of which, he's
Yeah.
completely different now.
Another character that was brought back, recast. But it's just been a, there's been a sort of lot of that. And I think that's quite a heavy thing in soaps at the moment. Like recasting previous characters wasn't a thing once upon a time, and now it happens quite a
No.
lot.
Yeah, it's quite the norm, isn't it, these days?
Yeah.
I know I've gone on about it, but it took me so long to get used to Martin when
Yeah.
James By came in. But it works now because I think because we're kind of, I don't know if desensitized is the word to it, but we're not that bothered these days. Unless it was a major character, like you couldn't have recast Cindy. Like and bring
No.
her back. You couldn't have brought Cindy back from the dead and it'd be a different actress. That wouldn't
No,
have
I mean, I
worked.
think there's some characters that you sort of like that you if they're not gonna if the actor doesn't want to come back, then you just don't bring that character back. I think Michelle was kind of proof of
I
that.
was just thinking that. I was just thinking, Michelle, because I was actually thinking, yeah, imagine Sharon's gone away now in Australia. She comes back and it's not Letitia Dean. We'd be like, come on, we're not having that.
Exactly, it would be ridiculous. But so the knights came in. We had George, Anna, and Gina arrive, and that sort of gave Linda a new sort of direction. Because obviously, one of the first things that Chris Clenshaw had to do when he arrived was to get rid of Mick because Danny Dyer had decided to leave. And it was sort of leading into Clenshaw's first Christmas. So I think Christmases have been his forte.
They've been amazing, his Christmases.
He's had three Christmases, and I think all three of them have been pretty blockbuster.
Definitely. So the first one was Mick,
Yeah,
right?
Mick and Janine's exit was the
Mick and
first one.
Janine's exit.
I mean, the second
Second.
one was the six. We'll talk about the six in a second because I feel like that earns its own discussion point. And then the third was Who Shuffled Cindy, leading
Of
into the
course.
40th anniversary. I mean, that did its job. That had a job to do that Christmas, didn't it? I think sort of planting a few seeds ready for the anniversary.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, as we were talking about new characters, so obviously the Knights all came in. We also had the new Mitchells come in. So we've got
Yes, of
Nicola,
course.
Teddy, Harry, and Barney. And then the Galatis as well. Ravi, Priya, Nugget, Avani, as well as Nish as well. Nish was a close Clenshaw creation. I mean, a lot of these new characters, I think, have gone down mostly pretty well with the audience as well.
I would agree. Although I feel like there's somewhat of a mixed response about the new Mitchells, which I'm going to be
Yeah.
honest, I don't understand.
No, I don't, because I really
I
enjoy
don't get
them.
how you can't love them, especially
Yeah.
Nicola.
Oh,
Come on.
I feel like Nicola is pretty much loved. I think a lot of people really, really, really like Nicola.
I've seen people say otherwise.
Well, that's their problem.
And I agree. That
Yeah.
sounds like a you problem, pal,
Yeah,
because the rest of
absolutely.
us.
Absolutely. The rest of us see sense. I mean, I think she's fantastic. And I feel like it's been a very big thing that it's Nicola and Priya, especially, I think have been some of the most popular additions to the square in recent years. That very much, I think, is very much rooted in your traditional view of women in soap, because they're both two great female characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Elements of camp, elements of iconic, but they've also got played by bloody good actors who can do drama
They're
and
also
comedy.
baddies as well in ways, in their own little way. Well, one more so than the other one,
Well,
you
it was
could say.
interesting that we kind of thought Priya was going to go down the Nicola route when she first arrived, and now Priya has kind of softened a little bit, and Nicola's kind of the hard-faced cow of the square now, isn't she?
Well, there's time for Nicola to get softened yet, Rob. Come
I
on.
feel like she's going to struggle to. I feel like they're going to struggle to soften Nicola.
They'll find a way, though. They always do. She, I mean, she'll still have it. She'll still be an hard nut. Don't get me wrong. But
Yeah.
they'll soften her somehow, I think, along the way. We also a major one,
Yeah.
Reese.
Yeah, so Reese, he came in at Dot's funeral, first of all. And
Yes.
again, I kind of, it, again, it was sort of one of those things that you sort of look at and you kind of think, right, he's a cotton. So again, it's sort of looking back at some of the history of the show. But for me, Reese was a character of very much two halves. Like when he came in, I absolutely loved Reese. And then they sort of took him down a very different direction. And to
How
me,
wrong were we about Reese?
I know we tried our best to defend Reese all the way through, didn't we?
Yeah, we tried our best. Everyone was like, no, he's a wrong. And we were like,
Yeah,
no,
no.
you just don't understand him. He's brilliant.
You're too quick
I
to
still
judge.
guess. Honestly, though, he suits that role. Like, I feel like now
Yeah.
Reese is gone. The role that we sort of viewed Reese as is maybe like what Nigel is kind of now. Obviously, without the dementia
Without
side,
the
but.
dementia side, yeah. It's a shame, really. But
Yeah.
there's another return, Nigel. Who'd have thought Nigel would be back on the square at any point?
Never in a million years, especially in the capacity that he's in, bless him. Like, that were
Yeah.
quite genius, though. So, like you say, though, about how everything's thought through. They really thought all that through. They knew the journey Phil was going to go on, and now it's becoming that Phil's going to be Nigel's carer. Like, everything is just thought through so much. It's not just,
Yeah.
let's bring Nigel back and we don't know where we're going to go with him. And then we don't know how that's going to affect Phil. They've got it all planned out, haven't they?
This has been this era though. It's always been, I think, sort of looking at the characters and thinking what storylines go with that character rather
Yes.
than pulling a storyline idea out of a hat and then pulling another character out of the
Straight
hat and
to a
putting them two
character, yeah.
together,
Like
which
Kat and Phil when they first got married.
it did feel like that. But then they saw by the time
They
that
did
Kat and
work,
Phil broke up,
Canada.
I was sort of a bit gutted about it because I
I
quite liked them
know.
together. Which throughout the whole of the Kat and Phil thing, I was sort of like, none of this should be working, and yet I'm quite enjoying them.
I know, I agree. But now that they're not together, I don't mind her back with Alfie, even though
Yeah.
I actually, if you'd have asked me maybe this time last year, I'd have been like,
Yeah.
please don't put her back with Alfie. But now
Yeah.
it's like you said, they are the Ross and Rachel, aren't they, of Albert
Yeah.
Square?
They're always going to be together. Like Phil and Sharon in a way as well. Like
Yeah.
you sort of think you'd love to see the characters go in different directions, but at the same time, it's sort of like
Well,
they do work together as well.
I don't think it is going to be Phil and Sharon. I think it might be Phil and another certain soon-to-be ex-pub landlady. And I don't mean Elaine either.
No, we shall see how that goes. So, talking of storylines, let's talk about
Yes.
some of the biggest storylines that have kicked off around the Clenshaw era. And I think you can't go very far into a discussion about storylines of this era without discussing the six.
It's by far, I actually dare say it's been one of my favourite, if not the, I
Well,
want to
the
say.
highlight of this era for you is it the six
Yeah.
storyline. I mean, the idea of it. So you do a flash forward to 10 months in the future, where, and you ba and the idea of the show basically then is that we're going to show you the run up to that and why that has happened, and then you will any questions you have about what is happening in that scene will be answered by Christmas Day. The idea of that
Epic.
is insane. All right, like there's so
It's
many things.
genius.
It is genius, and it was so cleverly done, but there are so many things that could go wrong in the run up to that. So actually, it was quite brave to do it.
Yeah, it was like, I think you mentioned it as well. Imagine if Lacey Turner had got pregnant a year earlier.
Like, but that sort of thing can happen. You know, you don't
Yeah.
know about something might happen with an actor, or you know, something might happen
True.
which means that the storyline has to change completely, which completely wrecks something that you've got in the pipeline for later. So actually, it's a really risky thing, but my God, did it pay off. It captured people at the time when I think it really, really needed to. It grabbed
I
people
think,
back to EastEnders again.
and I think it got everybody talking. Like for the entire build up, I feel like more people were talking about EastEnders, like because everyone was so intrigued. And then everybody watches for Christmas Day, and then it's the whole thing of what do I need to know before Christmas Day? Well, why don't I show you an episode? Here we go. We saw a bit of it in February, and this is what we're waiting to find out the answers to on Christmas Day. It got people talking then who maybe don't normally watch EastEnders because of it. But I just think it was so genius because something, I don't know when I read this, it was years ago, about you know, when you rewatch a TV show or rewatch a film that you've already seen before,
yeah,
the reason that you do it is because you've already seen the ending and you actually enjoy seeing the build up to it. That's why people rewatch things over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I think Chris Clenshaw were a genius in showing us the ending. It's like reading the last page of a book, isn't it, first? Mm, and then being yeah. like, how did they get there?
Yeah.
Then you kind of actually, you want to read the rest of the book first because you're like, how on earth have they got there? What happened yeah. here? And what a better scene to do that with than six women in different coloured dresses having essentially killed somebody in the Queen exactly. Vic on Christmas Day.
Exactly. Who's the body going to be and which one of these women did it? And I mean, I think the dresses as well was actually such a key component of it. It was yes. a genius marketing ploy, wasn't it? Like you sort of, it was so visually distinctive. Like yes. you saw any of those women in those colours and you sort of knew exactly what the show was talking about. You knew
yep.
it, and the way that it just twisted the viewers' kind of brains into trying to work everything out. Like the show hasn't done this to us since the Lucy story.
Yes, agreed. Yeah.
And the fans were absolutely obsessed with trying to work out which woman it was going to be. And then it turned out that each woman would have a man attached to them for their sake of the story. Yes. So it was going to be one of these women is going to kill one of these men. So how does it all happen? The six dresses were beautiful and the way that those women sort of wore those different colours throughout the year relating to different parts of the storyline. Yeah. It drove me insane by the end because I remember watching, I think somebody was wearing red on yeah. one of the Christmas Day something on a completely unrelated programme and my brain just literally went, she's wearing Stacey Red, what does that mean? You know, it was just so all-encompassing yeah. and it just was so much fun. And the thing is as well, yes, there were some serious issues involved in the story. You know, you had yeah. Denise's mental health, you had sort of the throwback to Denise, to Linda being raped.
And alcoholism,
you know, so there was some serious...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There's sort of issues-based stuff in it, but on the whole, actually, it was just campy soap fun. You get six of your most iconic women, you stick them in a different colour dress, and you just let them do their thing. And my God, did it work.
And you say, who done it?
Who done it,
and let
yeah.
everyone figure yeah. it out for 10 months. And then even the aftermath, though, like the episode afterwards where they were trying to hide the body... Yeah, you could argue that some of that was a little bit too funny, to be fair, because of what they
some
were actually doing.
So weird. Funny.
It was yeah. funny.
Because I think it had very much set the tone of it from the start. So it's kind of like, this is going to be fun, all right? You're going to enjoy this. Yes, there's going to be serious moments in it as well. Because also you have the Suki and Nish domestic violence route of it as well. So there
of
were
course, yeah.
some serious dramatic points involved in it. But I think from the outset, because you had such an iconic promo picture of all the smoke and all the sort of the women in their dresses, you knew what sort of vibe the show was going for at that moment.
Yeah.
So when it came to some of the sillier moments in the aftermath, I don't think we minded too much because we kind of were along for the ride at that point.
But then they didn't continue it on being that silly. Then they were quite deep with it. Like we say, like Denise went through a mental health stuff with it. Linda and like we definitely saw her journey through the guilt. We saw Sharon's journey through the guilt because obviously it was Keanu that actually got killed.
Yeah.
So they didn't just leave it at that either. They then, I dare say, we then had about a year's worth of storylines from that episode as well.
Yeah.
Which how often does that happen from one Christmas Day episode? You get the spectacle, you get everything else with it, and then it's still a year later, you're still talking about it and the effects on the square. Dare say we're not now, though, because we did say, I feel like at some points when we were recording the podcast at the time, we were like, oh, well, we're talking about this forever, you know, Keanu being buried under the calf. And I feel like we have kind of all forgotten it. Like,
we've
I
moved
got a
on from it
little.
now. Yeah.
Well, I got a little glimpse of Linda reminiscing somewhat about it last week when she was saying to Elaine, like, oh, you'll not be able to live with yourself if you keep this secret in. And, well,
Yeah,
yeah, she's talking
yeah.
from experience there, Elaine. But,
Yeah.
you know, one night stand and murdering someone might be a
A
little
little bit
bit
different.
different,
A little
Linda.
bit different. But what was interesting, I think, when we found out the answers on Christmas Day, after so
Yes.
much build-up, one of the most worrying things is it going to stick the landing? Like, you've
Yeah.
flown high. Like, the audience are absolutely fascinated and gripped by this story, trying to work out everything. And they deliberately were throwing red herrings around left, right, and
Oh
centre
my
just to
God.
mess us up further. Do you remember that bloody scrawling in on the tree?
The tree, I was just
The
about to
tree.
say when Eve was stood in front of a tree and it
Yeah.
said, did it say six or the
The
six on it?
six,
And we're
yeah,
like, what does
something
this
like that. What does that
mean?
mean?
Is she
What does
the
it mean?
seventh?
Yeah, what does it mean?
And
And
then
we
I
have.
feel like I think I asked my mum, and she was like, the seven women of Eve, the seventh woman of
Yeah.
evil, that were a thing. And I'm like, oh, Eve must be involved. It's Eve. Is
Yeah.
Eve gonna be dead?
Yeah. I mean, I
Yeah.
don't think they
Red
even
herring.
predicted how mad the fans were going to go for that story,
No.
did they? And
No.
it was, and they grabbed that success and ran with it. You know, like when they did the NTAs and made the girls all dress up in their dresses for the NTAs that
Yeah.
night that EastEnders won it. It was a fantastic moment because it felt like EastEnders was back, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
It really did. So the six storyline was amazing. What other sort of storylines have been your highlight during this era?
Oh, I think this, I'm going to actually say, I think the six was my favourite.
Mm.
Do you know another one that I think worked? George's baby farming story.
I loved that so much, and I actually
Yeah.
this that storyline produced my favorite episode of this era. And I'm talking about the
Oh,
and I'm talking
big
about the
claim.
episode. Yeah, well, it definitely was. I 100 like
Yeah.
because I remember just being absolutely absorbed by it and just so impressed with. I'm talking about the episode where it's very small cast, which is what I love in an EastEnders
Yeah.
episode. But it was the episode where Eddie and Gloria come to the pub, and it's just the knights. You've
Yes.
got Anna and Gina downstairs in the cellar talking about some really interesting issues that I haven't really considered when they were
Yeah.
talking about playing white and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
Stuff
and
that
Anna
I,
dyeing her hair blonde compared to
yeah,
Gina, who didn't, and that kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
And then you've got Elaine and Gloria upstairs, and then you've got Eddie and George downstairs. And the script itself by Lauren Clee, who has been a rising star of this era. She's been in the show for a
Right.
while, but this has been Lauren Clee's era, I would argue.
Yeah.
Like, she's
She's
written
been given
some,
some good stuff and she's delivered, hasn't she?
she has knocked each and every script she's been given out of the park, I think. Like, Lauren Clee is one to watch for the future. Well, she's already there, but like,
Yeah.
I used to get so excited whenever I saw a Simon Ashdown credit on the screen, and I still do, but now
Yeah.
Lauren Clee is up there. Like, she's amazing.
Definitely.
And
Yes.
this was, I think, one of those moments where I realized that because the script was so mature. It wasn't
Yes.
pamphlety. It was just talking about some really hard-hitting, dangerous issues about racism. And then the twist at the end that the man who Eddie had murdered was actually George's father made total sense by the time you got to it. But it
Yeah.
was sort of like, what a moment.
Yeah, and that Gloria was in on it as well.
I mean,
Well,
Gloria and Eddie, two of the best kind of guest castings the show has had in many a year. Like,
yes,
both of them were phenomenal. I'm
I
gutted
agree.
Gloria died. I wish Gloria
They
had stayed.
killed her off way too
Way
soon,
too soon.
Gloria. They
Yeah,
could have
way
done
too
so much
soon.
more with her, couldn't they? But they did what they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, like you say, that particular episode as well, it stands out in my. Do you know what it was as well? Like, you know when they describe what happened when Eddie had killed George's real father and George was describing what he remembered from the night. When I think back to that, I don't picture them two talking about it. I picture the incident of it happening on the night because they described it so well. Like, how often does that happen? I can envisage what happened on the night because of how well they described it.
And again, it was a kind of indication about how mature that script actually was, because
Yeah.
actually, he died being kicked to death with steel-capped toe boots. And whilst having racist abuse thrown at him. And you can totally and utterly picture that. And the show didn't shy away from that
No.
whatsoever. And
Like you always say, it's not here to hold your hand, is it, EastEnders?
always what you should say about EastEnders, it's not there to hold your hand. And in fact, if anything, that episode took your hand and threw it across the room.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I think Eddie did that to Georges at one
Yeah, he
point.
did. Yeah. That episode was great, and I think really cemented for me, like, okay, that, like, I mean, you got someone like Colin Salmon coming in, who's a fantastic actor, who's done so much stuff outside of EastEnders, and it's sort of like, we've got Colin Salmon in charge of the Vic now. That's good.
Do you know what? When we were talking about new characters introduced, I don't feel like we mentioned him enough because George has been a great addition actually to EastEnders. Feels like he's been here for years and years.
And
In
the
fact, the entire
connection,
Knight family, to be
yeah,
honest.
and the connection with Cindy as well, I think worked incredibly well, didn't it?
It really did. At first, I was like, oh, what a coincidence they've all moved to Albert
Yeah.
Square. But you know what? They have, and it works. We're
Yeah,
here
you
for
get
it.
over it. Yeah, like it's been a lot of fun. The Cindy and George dynamic has been great. Bringing Ian into that as well and sort of having that triangle go on without it ever actually becoming a triangle, which is strange. Obviously, you bring in Junior, and that's when, because Cindy's got to have an affair with somebody, because that's what Cindy does. But it's sort of like having George and Cindy never actually have that affair. They've had a few stolen kisses, but it was actually Junior that came along and was Cindy's hot and heavy affair. That's, you know, it's kind of subverting those expectations, which I think actually is something that this era has done a lot. Like, there's been those moments where you can sort of think you could predict the way a story's going to go. Or you think that a secret's going to kind of run and run and run, and you're kind of just waiting for the reveal. Whereas actually, a lot of the time, there'll be a secret, and then it'll be revealed later on in the week, and you're immediately into characters reacting to it. It kind of keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There's been quite a few moments where we think, oh, we're expecting that to get revealed so quick. But
Yeah.
actually, good. We've not dragged things out too much.
Yeah,
Brilliant.
exactly. The other thing with it is that this era brought back the two-handers, which we hadn't had before Chris Clenshaw came along. We hadn't had a two-hander since Stuart and Linda's in 2000 and either 17 or 18, one of those two. So years and years and years since we'd had a two-hander, which is one of the
God,
things that EastEnders was so well known for at some point. They used to do like a few a year and then they just kind of stopped doing them. Whereas this era has had Jay and Lola having a two-hander, and then later on Patrick and Yolande. But then it's also managed to sort of bring in these moments where you'll have a much more reduced cast for an episode, so that you could have a really intimate look at their
Like the night
storylines, like the
episode,
night episode, exactly. So it's again totally respecting what the show can do, because no other show does it like that with EastEnders. The other soaps have never bothered doing that quite so much as EastEnders does. So to know that it could still do it and can still knock it out of the park is fantastic when it's done right.
Yeah, I agree. And they picked the right moments to do it, I feel, as well, like with
Yeah.
Jay and Lola and the Trumans. Talking of which, Lola were a massive storyline as well. Her
Yeah.
brain tumor, that was, it feels like ages ago
It
that
does
was, but
feel
that was a
so long
massive
ago.
part of his era, weren't it?
Yeah. So when he first came in, obviously, quite every so often, a new producer will come in and axe a few characters, and Lola was one of those characters. And sometimes with an axing, you will get someone that just kind of decides that they want to leave the square one day. They'll go off and, all right, see you later then, and never see or hear from them again. But Lola had quite a long-running storyline with her brain tumor, and it absolutely sort of wrung every single bit of deserved emotion out of it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. We traveled with it because it wasn't like, oh, she's got it, and then like 2 months later she's died. I feel like it was a good, what, 6 months or so, I'd say, of watching the effects on the rest of the family, her thinking it honestly, it before I was a mum, I know I've gone about I'm a mum, but it makes you view things totally differently. And watching like that this happens to people when they've got a child and recording all those videos that she did, and we still see it. I wonder if we're still going to have any more videos to come, actually. I
I
wonder
wouldn't
how
be
many they got to
surprised.
record.
She's probably got one for each of Lola, for each of Lexi's birthdays. So definitely have one
You'd think.
when she leaves school. There'll be one for her 18th. There'll be a few, I should think. Yeah, 100%.
I feel like Janet had one at her recent birthday, but I don't think
Yeah,
we saw it. I think they mentioned it, but we
not
didn't
that she
see
had
it.
one. Yeah, I mean, Lola was probably sat there for about 3 days doing those videos at some point. But I just remember Lola's final episode, and just the way that it was put together, realistically sort of portraying what, because Lola, I think, was done by that moment. They'd done everything with Lola saying goodbye to people. And actually, that last episode was literally Lola with her eyes closed for the entire episode. Like, Daniel Harrod was sort of thrilled by the time she got to that point because she could just have a rest. Yeah. But it was all about the reactions of the characters around her. Mm-hmm. And I remember being absolutely fine until the last seconds of the episode where Julia Seam is playing and a fox is running through the square, because Jay had mentioned that she would come back as a fox. So when Lola died, the fox was running through the square. That's the bit that got me. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. No, I was gone before that. It was when I think Jay wasn't there for it, for that moment. And in his head, he'd got it all planned that he'd always be there for in those last moments, and he just wasn't there, was he?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can't remember why he'd had to pop out for something, and then that were it. That happened to be when she went. But yeah, and we're still, well, we've not seen much from Lexi, but that's more to come. I definitely feel like we're going to see some more of Lexi, hopefully, in this era. Because we've not seen her properly for a while since.
No, but then, you know, the kids will do this, won't they? They'll have, like, quite a sort of big thing, and then they've got to go and do school and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I think we're in Lexi in school mode at the moment. But I'm sure she'll be back at some point, especially with Ben returning. So I'm assuming that we'll be seeing more of Lexi as Ben returns. Something else I want to talk about was one of the first big things that he did was the Mitchell flashback episode, which... was one of my favourite episodes of all time.
Yes.
And if there wasn't something that showed that this was an era that was going to respect the history of the show, it was that.
Agreed. 100%. It was so well cast as well.
It's ridiculously well cast. Like, insanely well cast. Like, they were casting a 9pm drama. Like, every single person had to be absolutely bang on right.
And you could have watched it as a 9pm drama. They could have easily made that into a series and then a spin-off. But
easily.
Always leaving wanting more, I guess. But it was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Mitchells anyway, because the Mitchells have always been a family that have got so much history. And you can always bring a new cog into it and sort of take them off into a new direction. Mm. There'll be another secret that's been discovered somewhere in their history, somewhere in their family tree. And to sort of go back there and make sort of Billy the focus of that, as well as Phil. Mm-hmm. Phil, by the way, I think has been the character of this era for me.
Yes. Yes. Well, at some points I do remember saying Phil's not doing an awful lot. Mm. And then all of a sudden he was doing an awful lot.
An awful lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Phil for me has been like the character that it's almost like Clenshaw came in and thought, do you know what character I'm really going to do some work on is Phil. Because before this era, I feel like Phil was a bit cliched and would do sort of, you'd have angry Phil doing his 8-8-A routine, walking around with a baseball bat and just sort of being a bit of an old man gangster. Whereas actually, there has to be a moment where you sort of look at Phil and think you need to sort of calm down, because I feel like you would. And actually putting Phil through the entire storyline where he was depressed because of hyper-masculinity was a genius move for Phil.
Yeah, 100%. And then you were talking about the flashback episode.
Yeah.
And then that, who would have thought that that would have then been relevant to the Phil depression storyline? Yeah. And then they've even managed, and then they put another flashback episode in for us.
With the same cast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was so foreplanned that they knew that they were going to do something when they did the first one?
No. That's what I was about to say. I don't feel like that. I know we were talking about, they planned stuff, but I don't think they knew when they did that first flashback episode. Oh, I know. And then we'll keep the same cast. And then in a year or two, when Phil's got his depression storyline, we'll bring them back. I don't think they thought it that far ahead.
Yeah.
But they did it. And it worked.
I mean, and it was the journey that Phil went on, and it made absolute complete character set. It was totally rooted in character, that storyline. Because you're looking at a man who was so... I mean, Phil was emotionally and mentally and physically abused as a child from Eric, okay? And the fact that we met Eric for this era as well.
Yeah.
We'd never actually seen him in person before. We've heard so much about this man for years and years and years, and we knew what a heavy effect this man had had on Phil as a character. But to actually meet him, and see him in action and see him doing and saying the thing that we knew he knocked Peggy about, we knew he knocked the kids about, and to see him in action totally made Phil make sense as a character. And so for Phil to then be able to look back on his childhood and realise that a lot of the things that, I mean, you can't blame it on everything because he's a fully grown man who's capable of making his own decisions, but to be able to look back on his life and realize that's what has led me to this moment and why I've made so many mistakes. It was so clever.
You say this, but childhood affects people in adult life
yeah.
a hell of a lot. So yeah, it does make sense, and it is good that they explored it in that way. And do you know what though? If you'd have, or I dare say, in any other era, couldn't have got away with a flashback episode like they have. Even when we were in it, when it was, you know, Phil in his delusional state, it still worked. If you'd have said that of another era, that they would have made that work. I would have been like, that doesn't sound like either. I don't know about doing that on EastEnders, but it's been a special era, hasn't it, to be getting away with these things. Like you mentioned briefly earlier as well, like we had Roxy come in. That didn't feel like crazy. It was taking us out of the moment at all, did it?
No.
It worked. And you still got your little special cameo there that we all want. And, you know, Wade, there's still time to bring her back.
We'd accept it. Love. But, you know, talking of a cameo, you know, I remember just, you know, that when they did another flashback was when Cindy first returned. And actually we went back to that Good Friday when they discovered that Lucy had died.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember thinking when I was watching that, you know, you've got Cindy hiding in the bushes and they're doing the sort of intercutting new footage with the old footage from that episode of Ian walking across the square to tell Peter that Lucy had died. And we discover that Cindy was watching him that night. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, because it was just so cut together so well, because there was that whole thing with the street lamp at the time, like fizzling out. And there was even a taxi that had sort of been put into that scene that Ian sort of watched two girls going past because, you know, he's looking at them and thinking of Lucy. They got out of this taxi, and then you've got the taxi in the new footage. And I remember looking at that scene and thinking, this doesn't even need to be as good as this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It was so well done, weren't it? And then we had Fat Boy there.
Yeah.
Of all these cameo things. Yeah. Fat Boy's there. Who would have thought that?
Yeah. Just, again, a lot of it, I feel like, it didn't need to be there, but it was put there purely because the fans would enjoy it.
Yeah. It was very well thought out, that entire episode. And it really worked.
Yeah.
Again, another flashback. Have we ever had flashbacks like this?
It's not really in EastEnders. It's not been done. I think the main kind of, the big flashback episode that they've done before has been special episodes that have sort of, like they did a thing with Pat and Mo. I think, and they did one where Dot was younger as well. They've done that kind of thing, but it's all been very sort of separate from the show itself, rather than putting it into the show and making it relevant to the story that was going on at the time.
Yeah.
And those sorts of special episodes have been, I think, kind of quite a key factor of this era, haven't they? Because there's been a few kind of episodes where they've gone outside of the box, still quite rooted in the show's DNA. It's not just been because we can, it's been because it makes sense at this moment, and this is a different way for us to tell you a story that you will feel it's that you can recognize. And Yolandi's story was quite a big part of that, when Yolandi was sexually assaulted by Pastor Clayton, and we looked back over previous victims of the pastor.
Yes, that was a special episode. And again, it didn't feel out of place. It didn't even feel like you weren't watching EastEnders, even though we weren't in Albert Square and we weren't with any characters that we actually knew. It fits so well. Like, they've done such a good job of making these kind of things work. Like I say, even though you're not even in the same time, were we? Like, some of them were really historic.
And it was sort of looking back over, and it was such a furious way of looking at sexual assault as well, because it's basically implying that, I'm telling the truth, it's saying that sexual assault is can be unchallenged, unstoppable, and can sort of go on for years and years into generations, all committed by the same man, and it feels like there's no way to stop that person. So it was just a completely honest look at it. And I think one of those things of this era has been those moments, those special episodes, not necessarily ones like that where it's gone a little bit outside the box, but also episodes focused on one character. You know, for example, Avani being strip searched. Again, just one of those real character pieces where you're looking at a character and they're in a specific scenario and it's really heavily focused on them and looking at the issue itself.
Yeah, I agree. Which they've done a good job of, because, like, obviously we've looked into things a little bit more because obviously we do the podcast and we research things, but I learned loads from Yolandi's storyline and Avani's storyline, like statistics that I didn't even know were out there, and like issues like with Avani's, I didn't even know it was an issue that, you know, all these underage kids are getting strip searched without proper consent, you know?
Yeah.
So they're doing issue-based things at the same time, but it doesn't feel like they're lecturing you about it either. It's like they're just trying to help you learn about all these different things that are out there.
Yeah. And also another one, Linda's what if episode, you know, what if Linda died? Yeah. That's another one, you know, just these sorts of episodes.
God, they've done loads, haven't they? Good job, Clenners.
Honestly, you look back on this era and actually it's been such a busy era. Like so much has gone on over the past 3 years. You sort of think, wow, like it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride where you look back on the whole thing. Some of it hasn't worked as well, possibly. You know, so there's been points where you sort of think, but, you know, I mean, I would say he's been a bugger for block storytelling.
Yes, definitely.
You know, there's been times where we've had the story start and then gone months without even just talking about it again. Now, there's various logistical reasons why the subs have to do that. But now and again, you sort of think you could maybe bring this back a little bit sooner.
Oh, we could have had a little scene just in between because we've not seen anything for like quite some time now, like a good few weeks or something. Mm. But you know what? It's not the end of the world. But I do remember over the time we've been a bit like, oh, we've not seen them for ages. We had that massive ending. Like I remember, I think that happened with the Theo stuff, something we'd not mentioned as well when he were stalking Stacey. I remember we didn't see much of that after it happened. Yeah. In fact, there weren't much at all after that. Freddie beat him up, really, to be honest.
No, well, we've kind of thought that Theo was going to be Stacey's man, and that turned out to be Jack, and that sort of went a bit randomly, because it was sort of like the random affair between Jack and Stacey, which led Jack into being involved in the lineup of men that might die on Christmas Day, even though none of us really kind of thought it was going to be Jack.
I was like, it's going to be Jack, it's going to be a main guy, it's going to be something we don't expect.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the Reese storyline didn't necessarily work for me either. I liked Johnny Freeman as Reese, but I didn't like the way that the Reese became a killer. I thought that was a waste of Reese, actually.
I agree, but we eventually accepted it. But I think that is more to do with our hopes for Reese's character.
Yeah,
and
true.
How we felt about Reese, because everyone else had already seen it coming. And we were like, no, but there's this nice side to it. Like, we liked him being that character that we were perceiving him as. Mm. But clearly he was never that character from the start, Rob, because we had goggles on when it came to
We did. Reese. Absolute rose-tinted goggles for Reese. Yeah. Like, we were both like, all of you were talking rubbish. You need to calm down and let Reese live. Honestly, let him be this quirky little human being that goes... Because I had Reese down as the Roy Cropper of Wolford.
Roy Cropper. I was just thinking
I really, really did. I thought that he was going to just come in and be this quirky guy that sort of has to sort of learn how to live properly in Albert Square. And he was just going to be kind of really sweet and endearing. And that was going to be Reese's story, when in fact his story turned into him suffocating his wife with a pillow. She was the angelic Debbie, who the most beautiful angelic smiling victim of murder there's ever been. Even when she was on the mortuary table, she looked glorious and smiling, didn't she?
Yeah, didn't she just? Well, you know, all that private health care that you were paying for were clearly working wonders for her, weren't
Exactly. I remember at the time Lily's pregnancy was a bit contentious for a few people. What did you think of that?
I'm still not keen on it. Like, I feel like it kind of works now, like she's got Charlie XCX, we've all accepted it, her and Ricky are these young parents. I just don't feel like a character even now needed that.
Mm.
I feel like we could have explored Lily without her being a young mum. I don't know. It's just a bit. It's a bit like, oh look, teen mum.
Yeah.
Always done on a soap kind of thing. Oh look, it's Stacey's daughter.
Mm.
I'm still not overly keen on it, but I don't hate it. Like it's here, it happened. But yeah, at the time, I remember being a bit like rolling my eyes, like, oh, here we go, been done before, kind of thing. But
do you know what I would say about It does happen. And actually, talking about the young cast on EastEnders at the minute, I feel like actually the young cast that we've got at the minute are actually some of the strongest young characters that I can see in soap at the moment.
I agree. And you can see a lot of them, like, we're going to watch them grow up and their characters can remain on the square as well and still have quite a big part on the square. Yeah. So I hope that we don't lose some of them, but a lot, you know, in life that does happen, of course. But it feels like we've been on a journey with them like the past few years, doesn't it? And they've had along the way, they have had good storylines. I mean, in fairness, did I like Lily becoming pregnant? No, but they've done well showing it, and like the storyline moved well with it, if you know what I mean,
And
and the
I
character
think,
development.
yeah, absolutely. And I think now that we're into, I mean, what we should also discuss is the 40th anniversary, of course, which was
Oh gosh.
a
There's
huge
so much in this
centerpiece.
era. I think we've discussed everything, and then,
On
oh
top of
yeah,
everything, just
you
chuck in
mentioned
the
something
40th
else.
anniversary, which was a huge spectacle, right?
Yes.
Live episode. By that point, we're kind of like, oh, live episode in this era, we're in completely safe hands. Everything's going to be fine. And it was. You know, yes, the killing of Martin, I think, has riled a few people up. I'm
Yeah.
kind of over it now, though, I've got to be honest. I was bereft when it happened, but I'm sort of like, meh, okay.
Yeah, Martin's gone. I guess that, yeah. It's not the end of the world, but also it was, quite a major character.
It was,
Like,
but I feel like those big anniversaries, that's when you're going to lose people like that. You
yeah,
know, you
yeah.
wouldn't, you wouldn't, no offense to him, but you wouldn't kill off Felix on the 40th anniversary, for example, would you?
No, it wouldn't have the same effect at all, would it?
No.
I
So
mean,
you.
but then if you killed somebody like Phil, that might be too extreme.
Oh, far too much, yes. You've got to sort
Yeah.
of tread that line very carefully, and maybe to
Yeah.
some, because he was in the show in some fact, you know, Pauline was pregnant with Martin in the very first episode of the show.
Yeah.
So. You kind of think, is it too far to kill off Martin? But, you know, if the actor wants to leave, and Martin would never have left the square by choice because his all his family were around him. So what are
He
you
did leave at
supposed to
one
do?
point, though, to be fair. I think to go around the corner, we were led to believe that he
Yeah,
wasn't
but
marking.
soon came back, you know. So you
Yeah,
kind of think,
yeah.
well, if you're going to kill off, if you're going to get rid of Martin, you may as well do it in a most in the most spectacular fashion possible, on the most iconic anniversary date. And
When
it was a
Lacey Turner's
huge.
just given birth so that she can have a really hard time
I
doing the
would
live
love
episode.
to know what the logistics were behind the scenes for all of that. Because
Yeah.
honest to
Well,
God.
I wonder, because she how old was her baby? A good few weeks by that point. So they knew it weren't going to be around a due date at least. But imagine if, like, touch wood and, would never want this to happen, of course. But imagine something had gone wrong with her birth and she was in hospital for some reason. That entire 40th would have gone a very different route, wouldn't
It
it?
was, I think it was, I think we were in slightly sort of uneven territory as to, you know, we need this to go absolutely perfectly. And
Yeah.
fortunately it did. And Lacey Turner was phenomenal in that live episode, wasn't she?
She deserved
Like,
an Oscar for that episode. I'm sorry, and I'm going to say that forever.
well, talking of awards, what this era has done is absolutely rake in the awards. So it's worth saying that the Soap Awards, even though ITV kind of cancelled one year for reasons that, which, people can
Oh
draw their own
no.
con for reasons that people can draw their own conclusions from. But in the British Soap Awards, the two award ceremonies that have been within this era, EastEnders has won every single public voted award. It's won two BAFTAs and an NTA for Best Soap. That's not,
Sauce.
but I think it's fair to say, even if people have had some problems with some points of this era, on the whole, I think it's gone pretty bloody well.
Yes, I would agree. And the awards say so too.
So, in conclusion, who has been your favourite new character brought in this era?
Oh, you had to go a new character, didn't you? Because I've been trying to think about this. Because I think I know who my best return is, but my
Who's your best?
new
Okay, so who?
character.
Sin, I take it Cindy was your best. Was your best
Yeah,
return?
obviously.
Yeah, I would
Although
say.
there have been others as well, because I am a big fan of Bianca, let's not forget.
Yes,
We
Bianca
mentioned
was
her
back as
coming
well.
back. And Yolandi as well, for that matter. But
Yolandi.
it's got to be Cindy for all the drama she's brought and how
She's been
camp it was when
amazing.
she returned. What about
Yeah.
you for your best return?
I would say Yolandi. I mean, I love Cindy with
Okay.
all my heart, but I would
Yeah.
say Yolandi has been just an absolute kind of triumph to return. Angela Winter, unfortunately, didn't get as many awards as she deserved to for her portrayal of Yolandi during the sexual
I
assault
know.
storyline, but she is phenomenal. And I'm so pleased that Yolandi is back because Patrick and Yolandi are fantastic together.
Yeah.
Cindy returning, obviously, was amazing. What about your favourite new character, though?
Do you know what? Because I've not even considered them new, which I've not, so I've not really been thinking of it, but it's got to be Ravi,
I
surely.
thought you
I'm a
might,
big
and
fan of Ravi.
I think Ravi's been an absolute triumph, to be honest, because
Yeah.
he came, he's played incredibly. Aaron Tiara is
Yeah.
amazing for a start,
Yeah.
but Ravi is actually so layered and so complicated.
Yes.
And I've got
Yes.
to be honest, I think there's elements of Grant in Ravi.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I think he's a bit softer, though. I
He
think
is a
he's
bit
been softened a
softer,
lot sooner.
yeah. But I can see this sort of those bad boy elements where you joke, you know, you kind of can't quite predict what Ravi's going to do.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
given the fact he's killed two of his father figures in his life, you know.
Right. But with Ravi as well has come his family as well. So Nugget, I think, came around a similar time to Ravi, and he's been a great addition to the
love
square,
Nugget
as we know.
So much.
We love Nugget. We're big
Nugget
fans.
We love Nugget, yeah.
But then alongside Nugget, we've had Priya and Avani again. I love them too, because I was... You might as well. I'm like, oh, I do like Priya as well. But I don't feel like... Oh, and Nicola. I don't feel like we've seen... I still don't feel like we've seen enough of Priya, though. I feel like we still need more Priya.
So, in answer, so you're going to say Ravi for your favourite new character?
Sorry,
yeah.
Ravi.
Yeah. You're right, though. It's hard. I would say it's got to be between Priya and Nicola, even though I absolutely love Ravi too, and Nugget. Do you know what? I don't know. I might say Priya, but I don't 100% mean it. Just because, you know, I there's reasons that I love all these new characters for very different reasons. Yeah.
But I think if Priya had been given more, you would be 100% Priya, but she's just not been given enough.
I think in terms of storylines that have been given to characters, you've got to either say George or Ravi then in that case, haven't you?
Yeah, do you know what? I was even debating George, actually, but Ravi for me. Yeah. I've always enjoyed Ravi. I love Ravi and everything about Ravi.
As much as I... Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I'm going to say, do you know something I don't agree with there?
Go on.
Right, I think the worst mistake, and I'm going to say it right now, the worst mistake of Chris Crenshaw's era was letting the public decide who Denise should have gone with.
But, yes, I agree that that choice was a disaster, but that isn't the show's fault, because I feel like actually what that's given us is the Ravi and Priya thing, which I think actually is 10 times better than Ravi and Denise would have been.
You could have still had Ravi and Denise, and then him end up with Priya anyway. We could have just had that nice bit of drama that we love.
That choice was not, I guarantee that choice was not about Denise. That choice was about Ravi.
We learned nothing about letting the public vote for things. Come on, Clenners.
Brexit of EastEnders.
That's my only gripe about this era.
Fair enough. But on the whole, I think, you know, gold star to Chris Crenshaw.
Yeah.
The absolute... it cannot be understated how much he saved the show, I think. Mm-hmm. The show is now in... Whatever your thoughts on some of the storylines and some... We loved them for the most part. It's been an absolute treat to do a podcast throughout this entire era.
Yes.
You know, and
great
I've
time
been,
for me to join.
Right? I mean, I've been here for this entire era in sort of when I was doing Walford Weekly with Alex before. Mm-hmm. So I've been here from the cradle to the grave of this era, and I've loved every second of it. I really, really have. It's been made with such care and such love and such respect for the show's history. And now we are at the dawn of a new era as Ben Wadey steps into the breach. We're nervous, but I feel like that's a good thing, because the show's in such a good state at the moment that we're nervous about what might happen next. Nerves aren't necessarily a bad thing at this stage.
Just shows that you care, Rob.
Exactly. So those were our thoughts on the Chris Crenshaw era. We wish him well for the future. Let us know in the comment section what your favourite moments from the past era have been. Some of your least favourite moments, maybe. Stick them in the comment section below. Finally, this week, ladies and gentlemen, Soap Week. You may have heard about it. You may not have heard about it, but you're about to hear about it, because I had a conversation with Gemma from Conversation Street about something that she has created to bring soap fans from all around the world together. Unfortunately, her video wasn't working during this conversation, but you can hear her. So here is Gemma talking about Soap Week. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest on the podcast. Please welcome Gemma from Conversation Street. Hi, Gemma. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute
Good
pleasure.
To talk to you again.
Yeah, and you. So me and Gemma properly met at the Soap Awards, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. It's the first time I met you, but always I feel like people through the podcast, I feel like I've known them for years. So I was like, it's Rob, yay.
Yeah, and it's so weird because I've heard your voice for so many years when I was like a full-on Coronation Street fan, but then I'd started doing this, and you know, you've got to stick with your loyalties, haven't you?
Yeah, you have to pick one.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Conversation Street's been running for years now, hasn't it? Like, are you close to 10 years, over 10 years?
I think we're in our 13th, it was 2012 that we started.
Wow.
So, and we're on episode 685 is going to be the weekend. So we've been doing it for a bit now.
That's mental, because we're only on it. This is only episode 110 that we're on, and we feel like we've been doing this for years and years and years.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were going. You've been going a couple of years now, but it doesn't take you long, I don't think, to really get into the swing of what you're doing.
No, and we've got great fans and great listeners, and so have you. And I think those listeners and the soap fans are what this Soap Week that you have been the founder of, you've created this, is all about. So tell us, what is Soap Week and what do you want to get out of it?
Right, so Soap Week is a very special celebration. And actually, you were the first person I told
I was.
About this, yeah? So
when
you've been in
when we were on our way to Aldi on the Soap Wars to get vodka, yeah, we know.
Actually, it was Marks and Spencer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
We walked past in Iceland, but we were on our way to Marks and Spencer's. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
It's a celebration of soap fandom and the power of soaps. It's going to run from the 7th to the 13th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming up pretty soon. So what I need from everybody is to join in. There's online stuff and there's also some offline stuff that I'd like people to try, which is to raise money for their favourite charities that are related to soaps and things that have really touched your heart in stories that you've seen on your favourite soap. So for Coronation Street fans, I think that Macmillan Cancer Support would be a really great one. There's also 5X More, which is a charity for supporting Black women through maternity and like raising their voices, and also Dementia UK, which is Debbie's story.
Yeah.
And we were talking, weren't we, about what kind of charities EastEnders fans might like to support, because you were saying Samaritans and Calm.
Yeah, so Phil Mitchell has just been going through quite a lengthy mental health storyline and talking specifically about men and mental health. And there is lots of charities that kind of support that. So Calm and Samaritans and everything. We've also got a dementia storyline happening at the moment. So that would be a great thing to sort of bring us together and sort of talk about dementia and the soap fans coming together. So that would all really work. But the soaps are known, aren't they, for their work with charities in order to get their storylines as accurate and sort of as sensitive and realistic as possible, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I really want this to be a way of kind of proving that soap fans like can cause positive change in the world. We watch these things, and I know that loads of us are really moved by the stories and we're motivated to, some of us will do charity stuff. And I've seen people like Sally Ann Matthews led a bunch of fans doing a walk for the RNLI. I think that Peter Rash has done a lot for MND charities, and people support that and join in. But what I wanted was to create a focal point for everybody to sort of to rally around and like prove that soaps aren't just something that we whack on and forget about when it's finished.
Yeah,
we engage with the stories on a really kind of human level, and the soaps do so much work, and the actors I know get really passionate about the causes that they represent. And I just wanted to, I don't know, put us on the map as people that care. But it's not just about charity. I mean, that's the thing I'd really hope that if you want to join in, really think about if there's something that you could do, like if it's like hosting a soap quiz night with your mates or doing a sponsored walk, or maybe you could just donate directly to a charity, or maybe even like bake cookies and cakes. But there's also other stuff that you can do online, because each day has a different theme that you can join in on. Mm-hmm. So we've got enjoy like Throwback Thursday, I think, where you can talk about your favorite moments that you remember. I think the tram crash for Corrie fans is going to be something that might come up. Yeah, I mean, what you guys have had so many memories coming up because of your 40th anniversary this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we as in, you know, because I'm in charge of EastEnders, as I should be, yes. Gemma, you know. And that's how I never put the fans in charge of a soap. So I don't think it would end well. But yeah, EastEnders has really been sort of looking back on its own history this year. Obviously in the run up to the 40th anniversary, and we've had so many huge moments sort of echoed back to. So, and I know that the Corrie fans specifically and the EastEnders fans love looking back on classic episodes and classic clips and talking about, you know, those days where, you know, what their first Corrie or EastEnders storyline was when they were growing up, when they realised that they were becoming a fan of these shows. It's really, really kind of quite a moment, I think, when you start becoming attached to these shows, because they grab you and then you never go away again, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Monday, that's the 7th of July, that's Meet Me Monday. We've had to come up with different names for each of the days. So that is when you share like how I became a soap fan and your earliest memory and your family traditions of watching it and show off if you've got any merch and things like that. That would be a cool thing. And every time you share online, if you use the hashtag Soap Week, then we can all follow along.
That's a nice easy hashtag.
Yep. And then Tuesday we've got it's Tony Warren Day. And that is why the celebration is taking place in July, because Tony Warren was born on the 8th of July. And I think he is, you know, the father of soaps in this country. So I thought it'd be really nice to pay tribute to him. And that is talking about vintage and classic episodes and sharing quotes and things about what your favourite soap means to you. Mm. And then you've got Wicked Wednesday, which is the 9th of July, where you talk about your favourite soap villain. And I think that we've all got one of those.
We've got a huge plethora to choose from, I think, between us, haven't we?
And then Throwback Thursday is just sharing scenes that you really remember and tributes to characters that aren't in the show anymore, maybe because they've died. You know, like the villains, quite a lot of them are dead, I think. And then Foodie Friday, I think that EastEnders fans might want to try Gene's sausage surprise on that day.
Oh, Gene has given us many options, because we've got Gene's sausage surprise, or if you're so inclined, Gemma, Gene's fishy basket.
I heard rumour of this fishy basket.
And I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Gemma. None of us are quite sure what goes into Gene's fishy basket, but it'll be nice to find out. But obviously, Coronation Street has got Betty's hot pot. Yes. Now, that was a secret recipe, wasn't it?
It is a secret recipe. I think Anthony Cotton's still not giving that one up. So we're going to have to go. I think it's been published a few times in some of the books, this Coronation Street Treasures book. And I think, I can't remember. I think Betty Driver had one, but she was also a vegan or a vegetarian. So
was she? Oh, amazing.
She never actually tried Betty's hot pot, which is quite ironic. And then Saturday is fan day. So art. If you've got a tattoo, I'd love to see it. If you've ever dressed up, share a photo. If you've made a t-shirt and you want to sell it, or you know, if you're doing any kind of fan stuff like that. And also book day. If you've read a book, you want to recommend a book. I know loads of Corey actors, and I'm sure EastEnders actors have written about their lives.
EastEnders actors come up with the best titles for their autobiographies. I speak specifically, you know, Pat Butcher, End of an Earring. I mean, you know, it's perfect.
That's excellent. Yeah. So recommend, you don't have to read a whole book Saturday. Just recommend a book or say, you know, share a title that you want to try. That would be fun. And then finale is Super Soap Sunday, where we're going to have a pub quiz.
Nice.
And hopefully people can join in that. And also make your own party. Have your friends over. Make them watch an episode of your favourite soap. Because it's not just EastEnders and Corrie. It's any soap. It's International Soap Week. So I'm opening it to everybody. But I fully admit I'm a bit rusty on all the other soaps. So that's why I need all the fans of the other soaps to join in and kind of everyone become a community. It was really when I went to the Soap Awards and Coronation Street didn't get any awards that I thought maybe we should be more communal and share the love a bit more.
Oh, I see. So all of this is to get Coronation Street more awards. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, get off my podcast. Go on, get off.
you guys had such a great night, though.
Yeah, we did have. EastEnders had a very, very good night at the Soap Awards. It was quite gratifying to see. But you're hoping this is going to become an annual event.
I'd love to make this annual. I have put my money where my mouth is, and I've paid for 3 years of this website domain. Soap-week.com is where you can find all the stuff. So I really hope, I mean, I'm out some cash if it doesn't work, to be honest with you. So you guys have got to help me.
I think the soap fans can be relied upon to get some of this moving. So where can people find you, Gemma?
Soap-week.com, and I've also got Soap Week Time on Instagram and Twitter. We are Conversation Street. You can find us. We'll be talking about this in our podcast and posting about it. But also, quite fun, this is like an exclusive for you, because we've decided what we're going to do for our charity fundraiser. And we're going to do a pilgrimage walk from the old set of Coronation Street in Key Street in Manchester. We're going to walk from there all the way to Media City on the 12th of July. And people are welcome to come and join us if they want to walk along with us. We're going to be raising money for Dementia UK for the lovely Debbie Webster.
Fantastic. That sounds brilliant. So listen and learn, everybody. Go to Conversation Street, go to the Soap Week website and see how you can get involved with this week's Soap Week. Gemma, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. When Rhea is back from holiday, we must do a crossover Conversation Street, Albert Square After Dark special episode at some point.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Thank you.
That would be great. Thank you very much, Gemma.
Thank you.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week and we will be having a full-on discussion, as we would normally would, about this week's episodes and, of course, next week's episodes too. Until then, you can get in touch with us by doing the following. You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. Do email us at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. Give us a like, give us a follow, and if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can find us on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark. That's it from me. We will see you next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from Ree. See you next week. Goodbye.